Hello, this is Brian Wampler with another episode of the Chasing Tone Podcast, the podcast about guitars, amps, and effects, as well as generally a healthy dose of interesting off-topic discussions. But today, something different. Quite a bit different, actually. So I saw a video of Pete Thorne interviewing Steve Vai. This has been a few weeks ago. And it's one of those, you ever just watch a video where you continuously rewatch it because it seems like you learn something different every time? That's what this video did to me. And the more I thought about it, I thought, you know what? This actually would make for a fantastic podcast. I actually reached out to Pete Thorne and said, I asked him if I could kind of use part of this interview for you Chasing Tone listeners. And of course, putting a link in there to the full episode of his video, so you can actually go and listen to the full part of it, because this is just a snippet of it. One of the ones that really speaks to me in a very unique way. And for some reason, I feel entirely compelled to kind of highlight this portion of the interview on this podcast for you. So with this one, Steve is really talking about success and happiness. I think at the end of the day, he's really talking about happiness and how it feels and how it changes your perspective of life whenever you're in a position that he is, which is, I mean, if we think of Steve Vai, he's kind of a rock god. I know growing up, Steve Vai was on the cover of a million magazines, and it still is. But even then, I remember seeing pictures of him on the cover and just thinking, hey, here's a guy that's got it all. You know, he's rich and famous, and he's a fantastic guitar player, and you know, everything is wonderful, and he's the complete epitome of success. And to really hear him talk about this stuff is enlightening. And I've met Steve a number of times and gotten to know him a little bit. He is just one of the nicest guys. He really is. He is full of just all kinds of great ideas and intense wisdom. That's not even, I'm trying to think of a word that's a better descriptor than intense, but he's just an amazing person to be around. And I can't say enough nice things about the guy. So with that said, here's a little snippet of that particular video that Pete put out. I'm going to put a link in the description of this to the whole thing, because you gotta listen to it. But I think you'll really enjoy it. And here we go. Let's jump into it. This is Pete Thorne and Steve Vai.
Well, I'll do my best. A lot of these things are kind of elusive. But when I look back at my career, there's been a couple of things that I've noticed that might be responsible for everything you just mentioned. And what that was just my love for the instrument, you know, my love for music. Because when I was young and I started playing the guitar, I felt like I found home, you know, like I found my place. I found my bliss, so to speak, my enjoyment. And it was in the hearing of a musical idea, and then in the finding a way to execute it in a unique way. Whenever I would get an idea for get a musical idea, it always felt exciting to me, right? Mm-hmm. So, and you know what that feeling is. It's like, you know, and all I wanted to do was manifest it somehow. And I loved thinking about things that I couldn't do and then working on them and all of a sudden being able to do them. It was like magic. It was addictive. So that was the thing that has never changed through my entire career, that my enjoyment of the creative process. Mm. And now when we talk about success, we need to define how we're using that word. So I would say that the way I look at it, there's two kinds of success. One is the success that the world views as success, meaning you've made it, buddy. You're now famous. You're now rich. You've been on the cover of all the magazines. You've won all the awards. You've got Grammys. You've got all these things. So now that's success. Okay. That's one form of success. But what I've noticed also is you take who you are into that kind of success, meaning if you're a miserable son of a bitch, that kind of success is not going to help you. As a matter of fact, it makes it worse. So that kind of success, I never really made that the primary thing to do. You know, that kind of success always seemed like something that was outside of my reach. It was like, I don't even want to think about it because I have no idea of knowing if that kind of success is going to come to me. How could you know? Mm. You know, you don't know these things. But what I do know is that I really love playing the guitar and I really love writing music. The weirder and the quirkier that my fingers found notes, the more excited I got. Mm. So it was my own little private secret in my own little bedroom, teenage bedroom. And I practiced and practiced and practiced, and I loved it. I just loved it. And then the next thing you know, and that's the success. Okay. That's real. Mm. When you're fulfilling yourself with your creative ideas, or I should say when you're executing, manifesting your creative ideas in a joyful way, and you do it, and many people do it, that's real success.
Sure.
It's yeah. success now because it makes you feel good. It makes you, there's a sense of dignity, there's a sense of worth, there's a sense of empowerment, there's a sense of enjoyment, enthusiasm, there's a sense of co-creativity with others. There's the feeling of enthusiasm for the idea and for the road that you're walking on to manifest that idea. Once that idea, the goal is reached, if the goal is something, which I always recommend should be the ultimate vital priority, is that you're doing what you love. Mm. That's the number one priority. Without any excuses, and without any fear of how it's going to be accepted in the world, because you don't know. Mm. But you when you are able to do that, I believe you have success in two ways. One of them is you've fulfilled yourself, because there's nothing nicer than having an idea, working on it, having it come out, and having it be really nice, you know, enjoying it, you know. And the other thing is when you put yourself into your music that way, it's organic, it's honest. There's an authenticity of you in that music. And the people that hear it, that it responds to, that resonate with it, it might be a very, very big audience, it might be a small audience. But it's the right audience for you. Mm. And they are your audience, and because trying to capture an audience, I just never really, you know, I just did what I liked and the audience came. So, and as a matter of fact, everything came that way. And it was just like when it came to Frank, he asked me to audition for his band. I would never ask him. That's like insane. Don't ask me. I mean, you know, and when like even the Alcatraz, well, the Alcatraz gig was one that I actually went out and I saw an ad in the paper and I took action and went to the audition. But with things like Flexible, that was just pure joy. Yeah. You know? I'd never thought anybody would ever hear it.
Right.
And
right.
Like the Attitude song was like my roller coaster. It was my bliss, you know. I was like, woohoo, you know.
Yeah.
And that made it. They Guitar Player magazine asked me if they could put it in the magazine. That was one of the things that launched my career.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And the reason why Frank asked me was as a result of something that I had that was valuable to him for his music, which was a guy that can play these weird lines that he hadn't, you know, he hadn't really given other guitar players. So he all of a sudden had a guitar voice that can play the Black Page or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and that was only a result of my passion for playing the instrument. So, you know what I'm, that came. And then with the Crossroads, Rye Cooter called me. The phone rang one day and it was Rye. Say, I'm working on a movie. It requires a devil's guitar player.
Yeah.
I called Guitar Player Magazine and asked them who the new hotshot was, and they played me the Attitude song over the phone, and I want you to be in this movie. I said, well, look, I'll record, but I don't want to be in the movie. I'm not an actor, and you know, it's not. And then the director said, look, you just, it's easy. You can do this, you know. And I read the part and I said, okay, I'll be Jack Butler. So yeah. It wasn't something that I had to go out and look for. I actually turned it down.
But it was the honesty of the Attitude song that got to that place, right?
Exactly.
They
heard my joy in the Attitude song. And then when Dave Roth came along, it was the same thing. He phone rang one day. It's Dave Roth. That was an interesting situation, because I remember I was in my little apartment on Fairfax Street in Hollywood. Nobody knew who I was. You know, I was a guitarist for Frank Zappa and Alcatraz, which, you know, I wasn't making any waves or anything like that. And, you know, the phone rang and it was Dave. Before the phone rang, it's the only time I ever, well, it's not the only time, but it was a very strong feeling in me. Somebody said to me, did you hear that David Lee Roth is looking for a guitar player? And at that time, that was the most coveted guitar position in the world.
Sure.
The rock and roll world, I mean, that was it. Who the heck is going to have the nerve to stand behind David Lee Roth after, a decade and a half of Van Halen or whatever it was?
Yeah.
Soon as my friend said to me, David Lee Roth is looking for a guitar player, something said, that's your gig.
Mm, wow.
That's this. Yeah. Whether you want it or not, which I did want, whether you know it or not, regardless of what you hear or what happens, you're getting that gig.
I love that.
It wasn't this feeling of confidence. It wasn't like, I'm going to get that gig. It was like somebody saying, by the way, that's yours.
Like you must manifest this.
Just like a week later, the phone called and it was David Lee Roth. And I'm like, well, how do you like that?
I love it.
And that was a result of my passion. And then everything came like that. Passion and Warfare was, when I was making Passion and Warfare, I thought that's the end of my career. When Whitesnake came along, it was the same thing. I didn't call for anything. They called me. Not to say that I haven't chased after things that never worked. But this is a very important point that I would like to make to a young musician, is desperately chasing after things is you're going to wind up unhappy because A, you may not get them. And B, if you get them, they're never going to be good enough, because you'll always be chasing the mechanism of chasing for bigger and more. That's the ego. And that never ends. It's all bullshit. You have to take my word for it. But the creative ideas that you have that are natural, organic, and authentic to you, without the fear of failing, without the fear of not fitting in, without all this mental noise that goes along with those things that will always only ever cut at the root of your creative intentions, that's your success. That's within your grips. It's within your world. This is something that you have. You do have it. Unequivocally, no exception, everybody has the ability to be uniquely creative. And when you find the enjoyment in that, the worldly success follows. It's a consequence. When I look back at my career, that's it. The everything that we're talking about that somebody can point to and go, oh, Steve Vai did this, Pill, virtually everything. It was a consequence. The Grammys were a consequence of the one vital. And it's the same in everybody, every musician that finds that any creative person, anybody that is engaging in their creative uniqueness, there's an energy that flows into what you do, and there's an authenticity in it, and that's your calling card. As I've said, every time I've had an agenda, every time I've tried to do something for success, for that worldly success, my brother, it failed every time. Wow. And that includes songs that I've written that I thought, I have to write this because then it'll be a hit and people will know, and I can sell more records and I can sell more tickets and you know, never worked, and I hate those songs.
So it's a fascinating interview with Steve Vai and Pete Thorne. Please go to the description in this, watch or listen to the full video. It's really great. And I think especially if you're a younger person that's trying to look for your career happiness, or even, you know, some way for a degree of quote unquote success in the music business, I think it's really going to provide a lot of benefit to you. I really do. It's just, it's one of those videos that I just keep going back and listening to, when I'm cooking or anything like that. It seems like I pull something different out of it every time, and it means, it provides a lot of meaning to me. So hope you enjoy this. I know this is quite a bit different type of podcast that we normally do. It was just one of those things that I thought it would really provide a lot of value to some people out there, that may be in a particular place in their life where they need to hear this. Because again, for the eighth time, it's a great interview with Steve. So that's this special segment for the Chasing Tone podcast. We'll have a regular one for you next week. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email me at podcast@wamperpedals.com, and I will personally get your email. If you like this podcast, just simply share it with your friends or bandmates, others into guitar podcasts. That's the best way to show your support for the show. Really, if you want, you can go to wamperpedals.com as well and check out some stuff there. And make sure you check out our YouTube videos as well while you're watching the Pete Thorne video. So thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week.